can, but we as God's people have a deeper understanding. So this brings up a couple of questions that I want to ask today as we get started. And they're tough questions. But they're questions that we have to ask ourselves and we have to answer for ourselves. Starting off with, are we, and put our name in that place, are we living a life that God will bless? Are we living a life as happy and joyous as it possibly can be? Does our life have real meaning? Does it have a real deep purpose? Now, we have to answer those questions again for ourselves. But if the answer is no, then we have to ask why. Why is it no? Could it possibly be because we are not following the biblical standards of a blessed life? That's a very scary answer. Most of us have been in church for years. I'm talking decades. And if we answer no, and then we answer yes to the negative answer, it's getting complicated, then we have some real issues that we have to work out. But the good news is, as long as we're still alive, we're taking a breath, we have the opportunity to fix anything, and we can move forward. Many people spend way too much time, worrying about the little problems of life, the things that we face. Now, we have to worry about so much. We have to, maybe worry is not the best word, but we have to address so much in our life. But in doing so, we tend to lose our focus, the focus on the blessing of God, the blessings, the blessed life that God gives us. And that's a shame when we fall into that category. It's a shame. Among other men throughout the Bible, and women, as far as that goes, as far as examples go. But Haggai, if you read the two chapters of Haggai, he talks about a time of problems in the life that he lived. And he talked to his people, the people he addressed, and he got them back on track. And it's really amazing to read Haggai and study it in depth. Now, we're going to look at a few scriptures of Haggai, but we're not going to spend all the time in Haggai. But he did motivate people, and he was a good motivator. He got people back on track, and he got them back engaged in God's work. And that's what we have to do. We have to get engaged even deeper in God's work. When we think about the problems that we face today, the problems that the people here that Haggai was addressing faced, these problems they faced, they emphasized way too much on their own needs, their own wants. And instead, they should be focusing on others, on the people around them, on each other. They should be focusing on God's work, on God's will, on the things of God, and getting that done. And Haggai kind of got them straightened out. He kind of got them back on the right track. And that's a good thing. I want to show you something. Now, some of you in the front might have a little better advantage than some in the back. But I want to ask you a question. A speaker once asked his audience this question. He held up a piece of paper. He said, "What do you see?" He asked around. Can everybody in the back see this paper? He asked, "What do you see?" Somebody in the back stood up. Now, I'm not asking anybody to stand up and answer. But somebody in the back stood up and said, "It's obvious. I see a red dot." He said, "You are absolutely right. I'm holding up a piece of paper, and there's a red dot on it." He said, "Okay, we all agree." He said, "Now, look closer. Look hard. Now what do you see?" And that's what it was, silence. It was dead silence. They see the red dot. Now, somebody in the front here might say, "Well, I see impressions of flowers." Well, that's because this is the only kind of paper I had. That's not part of this. But people saw the red dot, and that's great, because that's what they should see. until, again, he emphasized, you have to look much harder. You see the piece of paper. The most obvious thing I'm holding, the piece of paper. The point he was making here is when we go down through life, we travel through life, all of our worries and troubles is like the dot. We focus on the dot. That's what we see, no matter if we're close or in the far back. We all see the same thing, and that's the dot. But what we don't always see is the huge, huge display of God's blessing, the white piece of paper. And that's how life is. God's blessings are so much more than anything that we have in life if we would just see it and if we would live to see it. So when we think about that, you know, you don't have to turn there, but Psalms 68 and verse 19 it is a good, just kind of a reminder as we get started. It said, "Blessed be the Lord who daily, daily loads us with benefits." We are blessed daily, and we know that. So I want to start off today, as we get started, and I'm going to look at a few areas. Actually, there's going to be five kind of brief areas, and then we're going to spend the majority of time on the final extra three. But the first five areas, these are areas that will cause each and every one of us to miss out on all those blessings that we just talked about if we aren't willing to change, if we aren't willing to grow. The first area, I call this, blessings are missed because we fail to put God's purpose, His priorities, and His plans first in our life. Think about that. Blessings are missed because we fail to put God's purposes, God's priorities, and God's plan first, above all, in our life. Now let's turn to Haggai. This is where I want to pick up on Haggai a little bit. Haggai's right in between Zechariah and Zephaniah. I'll find it again. Haggai 1 and verse 4. I'm going to read from a little bit of a different translation, but the point is the same. Now, Haggai spoke to the people again. He called them back to God's values. He's trying to, you know, basically shake them up a little bit. Say, listen, you know, we're going to go astray here if we don't stay focused on what we need to be here. Haggai 1 and verse 4 says, "Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins?" Now, his point was that people in general, all of us, we all fall in this category. We fail to realize that if we just go, you know, by the seat of our pants, as the expression says, then we will live lives displeasing to God. That has to be a conscious effort, a conscious choice that we have to make. And in doing that, if we don't make them right choices and right decisions, then we fall into the idea of living in sins of omission. Now, we might not come right out and blatantly sin, or that might not be our goal is to sin, but sometimes by failing to do what is right, then we sin. Again, a scripture you don't need to turn to is James 4, verse 7. It says, "If anyone knows the right thing to do, but fails to do it, for him it is sin." Now, we need to meditate on these, because that's very important. If anyone knows the right thing to do, but fails to do it for that person, it is a sin. I don't have an example what that might be, but maybe what I would do and what somebody else would do might be two totally different ideas. But if I think it's wrong, but I go along with it anyway, then it's a sin. Because I thought it was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. We shouldn't go against our conscience and do something that we think is wrong. Let's look at point number two. Blessings are missed because we fail to remember God's will, God's word, and His way of life. Blessings are missed because we fail to remember God's will, God's word, and God's way of life. Again, Haggai, he urged the people here in Jerusalem that the word of God was being neglected, that they were letting down. They were overlooking the basics from the word of God. And this was a very, very bad thing. Look at Haggai 1 here, starting in verse 7. Let's read 7 through 11. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, said the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Why, said the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is waste, and you run every man to his own house. Therefore, the heavens over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, upon the oil, upon that which the ground brings forth, and upon men, upon cattle, and upon all labors of the hands. The point here is, when anybody, but especially us as God's people, fail to be obedient, and we know what that means. We know what God's law says. We know what we're supposed to be doing. When we fail to do it, God's blessings are pulled back. Then we get to experience life not so good. When we fail to obey God, that little dot that we looked at starts to become bigger and bigger. And the piece of paper, God's blessings, start to become smaller and smaller. We have to be and continue to be obedient servants of God. God has the ability to do what needs to be done for any of us and all of us to learn the lessons that we need to learn. Let's look at Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34. We'll read verses 9 and 10 here. Psalms 34, verse 9. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. He points out here, fear the Lord, or have obedience to the Lord. And if you do, if we have that obedience that he requires of us, there is no want. He knows what we need. He'll take care of our needs. Let's look at number three. Point number three. God's blessings are missed because we procrastinate. God's blessings are missed because we procrastinate. Now, you know, if we read the list long enough, we'll definitely hit one or two that fit us. So far, I'm hitting home run. But, you know, that's the way it is. We have to work on all of our problems, and we have problems. The people here with Haggai, they were building this temple. But from the time they came out of exile, they waited 23 days before they started building the temple. I don't know why. It doesn't really say why. But they waited. Instead of getting right on, accepting the blessings coming out of the exile, being free, and having all these blessings of God and honoring him with building the temple and moving forward, they waited 23 days. Now, what they were doing, I don't have a clue. Were they partying? Were they traveling? I don't know. The problem is, they waited. You know, we need to be on key every day for whatever, you know, whatever work we have to do with the Word of God. We have to not wait when an opportunity arises, take it. Make it work. The problem is that, again, we're this human nature thing. It takes us and it pulls us aside, and it gives us all these other things that we can do that might seem to be a lot more fun. You know, I don't want to go to this today because there's a great football game on TV and my two favorite teams are playing and I want to watch it. Or, you know, I don't want to go over there because, you know, well, I went and visited those people a week ago and, you know, too much of a good thing. Have you ever heard that? Too much of a good thing? I don't really know what too much of a good thing is. But that's what we use. We say too much of a good thing. Well, you know, procrastination is a tool of Satan. And he'll put it in all of our lives. And he'll dress it up. He'll put a bow on it and make it look very pretty and call it a gift. But it's not. It's not a gift at all. You know, when we think about putting it off today to do it tomorrow, the way this world is going, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know if we'll even be here. And none of us know that anyway. So we have to take advantage of the here and now. Take advantage of today. And make sure that we live today to its fullest. Look at James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. It's very encouraging. James tells us here. Again, it's a very short verse, but it's loaded with meaning. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves." You see how he worded that? Be doers of the word. In other words, when we hear God's word or we read and study God's word, we have to act on it. He says, be doers of the word of God, when we hear it, or when we read it, and when we understand it, not just hearing it and letting it lay idle. He said, because when we do, we become deceivers. Well, that's a scary word, because we know that Satan is the god of deceiving and deceivers. And that's all Satan wants to do, is deceive every one of us, anyone he can. When we hear, you know, we go to the feast, or you know, we hear messages, maybe wherever we hear them, or wherever we read, whenever we do our Bible study, we hear something. We have to take action. We have to put that, what we've heard, into action in our life, and we have to ask God to make it clear to us and move forward. But we can't just hear it and turn our ears away and go on about our daily life. You know, we need to always be wanting to learn more. No matter where we are, we always need to want to learn more. That desire we have will encourage us to dig in a little deeper, no matter what topic we might be studying. You know, that's the beauty of it. There's so many topics that we can pick to study, topics that maybe we don't know a lot about. But that's the topics that it's interesting to jump in and dive in and ask God for understanding. Ask Him to make it clear in our minds. And then what we don't understand, you know, we ask each other. If you put everybody's collective age, church age, together in here, we'd be older than quite a few. And we'll just leave it at that. But that there's a lot of knowledge in this room. And it's not just this room, but all the churches members have been in what seems like forever. There's a lot of knowledge here. So we need to ask each other. Not everybody is interested in, you know, pottery or maybe, you know, paintings or anything, but we have the things that we are interested in. And you'll find somebody else that's interested in the same thing. And maybe they've studied it a little deeper. But until we ask each other and visit with each other and talk and dig, we don't know. Point is, don't quit. Keep going. Keep digging. You know, ask for knowledge, ask for understanding, and then work at it. That's what we have to do. We have to work at it. Number four, God's blessings are often missed when we lack patience. Wow, another one of those those bad little words. God's blessings are often missed when we lack patience. Let's turn to Hebrews 10 here. Hebrews 10 and verse 36. This is what they had to say about patience here. Hebrews 10 and verse 36. You have need of patience so that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promises. You have need of patience. Why? Because after we have done the will of God, we will receive the promises. So he's telling us here, we need to work on patience in our life. But then we have to have action. He said, after you have done the will of God. So we have to know what the will of God is too. So we have to keep studying, keep learning, and keep asking God to reveal in us what he wants done, when he wants it done. But have patience to let God work his will. And then, when we do this, we have success in this, we will receive the promises of God. You know, Haggai taught the same thing. He taught it to the people. And he done this so that they would see the full blessings of God. And that message rings true today. If we take these points, we put them into our lives, and we work at them, we will have the advantage, the opportunity, and the benefit to see the full blessings of God today. And again, that's a great thing. We all know what Matthew 6:33 talks about. It tells us to seek the kingdom of God first, and then all the right, and his righteousness, and after this, all the things that we need, desire, and have to have to live this life will be added to us. But it requires patience. You know, it requires patience. God does not want us to ask, demand, and then go off mad because he didn't answer. God always takes care of what he will take care of when he knows it needs to be done. Our point, our part in this, is to ask for patience and understanding that his will be done in our lives, and we'll know what it is. Point number five. God's blessings are often missed when we look to other means for protection, for progress, for persuasions. We miss God's blessings when we look to other means for protection, for progress, and persuasions. Again, if you read the chapters of Haggai, you know that Haggai talked to the people, and he told them, he said, listen, you have to understand that God is all-knowing, all-loving God, and that he is all you need. You know, when we think about the present world and the world conditions that we're in, the world has come so far from wanting, needing, and even desiring the protection of God that they have huge military backing. Anything they need to protect themselves, if you will, they have. The bottom line is, though, God is bigger than all. And we have God. That's something we can never forget. That is so important to understand. We have God. At the very minute we drop to our knees, we are in front of God. And we're there talking to him. And he is there for us. He is our dad. He is wanting to help us. Haggai tried to get that point across to his people at the time. And he did, but it took some time. They started to understand. But God, he cautioned them, and he cautioned all of us, don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked. In this world, there's so many things going on. It's so easy, if we let our guard down just for a minute, to get sidetracked. He tells us not to get sidetracked. Stay focused. Remember the piece of paper and the original Bible. That's how life is. stay focused on the bigger picture. The bigger picture is God's blessings, God's way of life. And it's off each and every one of us. But we can't get sidetracked. We can't quit. We definitely can't turn our back on it. You know, Haggai, he headed off all the problems that were coming to his people before it went to full blossom. And God has his leaders today to warn us and to help us all. God has his word. We carry it with us everywhere we go. That his word will tell us and warns us when things are going astray. Pay attention to God's word. Study God's word and understand it. And when we do, act on it. And that's the thing. Again, it goes back to, it's very easy to read it and think about it and fold the Bible up and put it away. Or hear a message and take notes and then put the notes away. And that's it. But the bottom line is, if we never act on it, then we're in trouble. We have to act on what we hear and what we read. We have to act on what we understand. If we truly, truly want to live a life that is open to God's blessings, then we should consider all of God's Word. And we're not going to cover Beatitudes. The Beatitudes is a great place to study. You know, go to Matthew chapter 5 at some time and just study it. Do a detailed study on the Beatitudes. Because they tell us, they give us a blueprint of what we need or how we need to live in order to serve God and serve each other and receive the blessings of God. So, with that in mind, I want to take a little deeper look now on the same idea here, but I want to go into, basically, like I said, three main points now. And I want to do this from the book of Psalms. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I've always liked this scripture, and I liked it even more when Casting Crowns wrote a song around the scripture. The song was called Slow Fade. I'm not going to play the song, or I'm definitely not going to sing the song. But we're going to look at this scripture in some detail here. Because Psalms 1, it gives us guidelines of how we need to live as God's people to receive the blessings of God. Psalms 1 here. I want to go ahead and we'll read the first five verses here, and then we'll break it down a little bit. Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I'm going to stop there as far as Psalms goes. But here, in this, these few verses, we're given a very clear pattern of how we can ensure that we live a life that God will bless. So, what do we have to do in order to have these blessings? What do we have to do in order to have this divine happiness that God has talked about? Well, the very idea of being blessed, or the word blessed, that's what we're focusing around. And we want that. The idea behind this, again, as we mentioned in our own study, we need to parallel what we're talking about today with the Beatitudes. But through the book of Psalms here, we're going to see, as we go through this, that this topic here, these first few verses, they carry the idea of not just happiness, not just joy, but divine happiness. And there's a big difference. There's a huge difference. You can go out to anybody on the street, almost anybody, and you can ask them if they're happy. And for the most part, they're going to say, yeah, they're happy. Why are you joyful? Yeah, I'm joyful. You know, I have a great job. I just got a raise last week. I'm going to go on vacation next week. Yeah, I'm pretty happy. I got it made. That's as far as it goes, though. Now, you can come in and ask all of us, as God's people, are we happy? We're going to answer yes. But it's going to be a little different way. Because it's not just happy, it's not just joyful, but it's divine happiness. It's the happiness that we have, but we know that there's more than this physical world. And it's coming, it's around the corner. And it's there for us. All we have to do is not be silent. Just hang on and stay the course. Have a blessed life. As we started reading here in Psalms, we first must avoid a few things. If we're really going to have that meaningful life that God wants us to have, that joy, that divine happiness, there's a few things that we have to avoid in this physical life. And I'm going to read Psalms 1, verse 1 again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That teaches us that we are to avoid ungodly advice. Listen to the statement one more time. I'm going to read this so many times, you're probably going to get tired of hearing it. We're going to read it again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now the idea of walks not in the counsel of ungodly, that carries with it the idea of not participating in anything that is ungodly. Not participating in anything that ungodly people take part in. And that means we have to be aware. You know, we have to be aware of what we do and who we do it with. Because we don't want to fall into this. They said, blessed are the people, says the man, but the people who don't do this. And that's what we have to do, is not do this. This is a practical lesson and applies to our everyday life. If we hope to be truly blessed, to truly have this divine joy that God tells us we can have, then we have to avoid being around and taking advice from wicked people. You know, the world, of course, has their own ideas about this kind of thing. You know, whenever what we know to be right, the world doesn't even have a clue about it. You know, the world will do anything and everything, and then they'll smile while they do it. And it's not a problem for them. We have to make sure that we are aware enough to see the difference. It's so easy to get caught up with our friends and our neighbors in the world. What they're doing. And it's so easy to allow our guard to come down and then we're swept in. We are cautioned here not to let that happen. We can't let that happen. In our world, the world that we live in, they have very skewed views of what's right and wrong. They don't study the Bible and they don't have God's Spirit the way we do. So we can know what's right and wrong. If they don't, it goes down to something very, very simple, as we're all familiar with the little white lie. The little white lie. Well, the world has no problem at all in telling a little white lie or a huge lie if it benefits them or their cause. No problem at all. Keep replacing Psalms here. Let's just go to Revelation 21 here and look at what God's Word says about the lie. Revelation 21, read verse 8. Let's kind of break into the last half of verse 8. It says, and all liars, I underlined that in my Bible, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know what that means? That means if liars don't repent, it's over. That's it. The second death is final. We don't want to be associated with people like that. A lot of times, you know, a little lie turns into a little bigger lie, and then a little bigger lie. And then next thing you know, them and all that they associate with are in trouble. God says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He warns us, be careful. So obviously, it's not all right to tell a little white lie. We can't have a blessed life and live life correctly if we associate with lies. The Bible tells us, again, you don't have to turn there, but it's Ephesians 4, verse 15. It says to speak truth in love. Speak truth in love. And that love is the love of God, the love of God's Word, the love of God's way of life. To speak truth. As children of God who wants to live a blessed life and have a blessed life, we have to set our standards just a little higher. You know, no matter how long, again, we've been in church, whether we came in 20, 30, 40 years ago, or last year, or we're coming in now, we know that once we commit, and our standard of living does go up. It goes up because we start to understand things a little bit. We start to understand God's way of life, God's Word, and God's promises. And we start to see those blessings in a different way, a way we've never seen them before. We were created to glorify God, to give God the glory. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10. I might put a marker here in Psalms, because we'll come back. 1 Corinthians 10. Corinthians 10, verse 31. It says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do. There's no chance of misunderstanding this. Anything that we do, and it's not just on the Sabbath, but it's on every day of the week. Whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. What we have to understand is we are, you know, as people say, this crazy religion that has their own ways of doing things. They meet on this day that nobody else meets on. They're a little strange. The fact of the matter is, they're still watching us. They're going to keep watching us. We have to make sure that what we do, our actions, speak louder than words, because they're not going to listen to us, but they will watch us. We have to make sure that what we do glorifies God. That is so important. And that comes right down to the very basics of our Christianity. How we keep the Sabbath. We haven't talked a lot about that, you know, for a while. But that's how God says He knows we're His people. Because we keep the Sabbath. We keep His commandments. We live His way of life. And it is so important to honor that commitment that we made when we started. Keep the Sabbath, tithing, how we give our offerings. And I'm not talking about the amount. I'm talking about the attitude of how we do these things. Because it all comes back to our individual Christianity, how we are as a Christian. We have to make sure that we are the absolute best Christian we can be. Again, not just on Saturday, but all the time. All the time. It's going to be amazing one day whenever we are in God's kingdom and all the people that we've associated with throughout this life, not in the church, but in the world, they have a chance to come to us and say, hey, you know, I remember you when. And then they're going to tell a story. It's going to be an interesting story. But, you know, we have to do the best that we can possibly do, now and in the future. Every day is a new day. And from this moment on, we're writing our future and we're writing our past. But it starts now. We have to make sure that we do the best that we can possibly do. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 12. You know, Solomon, he searched for the real meaning of life. Solomon was blessed by God, without a doubt. And he searched again for the meaning of life, and he found that most things in life, in the worldly life, the world that we live in, were vanity. And he liked that, the chasing after the wind. You know, we see the wind blowing, but we can never, ever catch it. It's impossible to do. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. That pretty much says it all. That tells the story. Keep or fear God and keep His commandments. Keep His laws, His way of life. So this is man's all. This is what we are supposed to do. No ifs, ands, or buts. When we do this, we will start to live a complete life. But we can't go astray. Step number two, or part number two, of what we're talking about here. You might want to go back to Psalms again. Psalms 1. Another step that we must avoid is the influence of sinners. If we're really going to have a life of that divine happiness and joy that we talked about, if we're going to have a life that is open and receiving all of God's blessings, then we have to avoid the influence of sinners. We can't allow sinners to influence us in the way we think, what we do, or what we say. Let's look at Psalms 1, verse 1 again. I told you I'm going to read this so many times, you're going to be able to quote it with your eyes closed. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, the idea here of standing in the path of sinners, it means that we are around. When we walk out into the world, we're, and it's a different caliber of sin. You know, God says we all sin. We sin every day. Now, I'm not calling us sinners, so don't take it that way. But my point is, when we go out to the world, we are amongst people who don't have a clue or don't want a clue of the way God, you know, God's life is. And because they don't care, sin means nothing to them. And those are the people that we are dealing with. He tells us here that when we're around them, we're going to have to work around them, be with them, but don't associate with them. That's a different thing. We have to make sure that our relationship is kept on a godly level. No matter where we are, we have to keep that relationship between us and God on God's level. If we allow ourselves to, you know, go into, just say, bars and places like that, that's not a godly condition. And influences are there, and they are not godly influences. We have to make sure that we guard against those influences. Again, it doesn't have to be that extreme. It can be subtle things. The point is, if we draw close to God, He will draw close to us, and we'll be able to discern the difference. And when we do that, we can stay close to God. We can avoid those influences that ungodly people have, or sinners have. When we talk about influence, the actual idea here of influence should be just reversed of what we're talking about. And we're talking about not being influenced by others. The point is, we need to be one doing the influence. We need to live our life in a way that it influences the ones we're around. So much so that they will actually want to be like us, not allow us to be like them. And that's a tough thing to do. And I don't know how many times, you know, it's happened to each and every one of us. Maybe one, maybe a dozen, and maybe none. But that's because Satan doesn't want that to happen. Satan tries to fight against the way we live. He tries to not promote God's way of life, promote his way of life. So we are out there promoting God's way of life. And it's a battle. But we can win this battle. And this, you know, this goes to not just all, you know, the older people, but the younger people too. You know, most of us as older people, we have a little more experience dealing with people, and we have a little more knowledge, maybe, of God's way of life. And we think maybe other people don't. But we need to caution our young people to be aware of these influences. They are out there. They are out there, and it seems like they're even stronger today than they were 20 years ago. Now, I don't know if they are or not, but it seems like it. You know, we do know that as time draws closer to an end, Satan will ramp up his charge and he'll try to pull as many as he can away. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us, he said, evil companionship corrupts good morals. Evil companionship corrupts good morals. That is well said. And that's a quote worth remembering all the time, no matter where we are. So why must we not stand, the psalm says, in the path of sinners? It's simply because of this. You know, we like to think that we've been in a church forever and that we're somewhat indestructible. Well, that's unfortunately not the case at all. If we decide to stand, continually stand, in the company, in the path of sinners, long enough, we can become numb. Now, right off the bat, we won't convert to their way of life, but we become numb. Next thing you know, we get comfortable with it. And that doesn't bother us at all. Think about maybe the first time you ever heard a curse word. Now, who knows how long ago that's been. What did you think? You know, we had all kinds of thoughts before, haven't we? Somebody just maybe went off the big line of curse words. Okay, well, next time you heard it again. You remembered the first time. Okay. 15, 20 times later, keep hearing it, and keep hearing it. It finally gets to a point where I think, hey, that's just their way of life. And then, oh well, that doesn't bother us. Unfortunately, we fall into that kind of a lifestyle. It should bother us because that's not right. You know, in Ephesians it talks about cursing and corrupt language. We don't need it. We don't need it. We definitely don't need to listen to it. But it's just, the point is, if we are in the presence of sin long enough, it can pull us into its group, its relationship. And we don't want that. We are to be the light. We're to be the light. We're to reflect God's way of life. You know, we're living this way of life. And again, it's not just for us, but it's for everybody. We need to reflect God's way of life and show God's way of life. Allow God's example, Christ's example, to shine through us. Sometimes it's tough to do, but we need to do this. Let's look at our third point here, again in Psalms. I bet you know what verse I'm going to read. Psalms 1:1. The third part here of this, he said that we need to avoid the lifestyle of the ungodliness. If we truly expect to have a divine, holy, blessed life, a life of joy, then we cannot follow the lifestyle of ungodly people. Psalms 1, verse 1, let's read it again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, the idea of the scornful here is the very basics of what's not right with God's way of, or, you know, what's not right compared to God's way of life. Now, I've read that scripture several times today, and I've made the points of it several times. does anybody see what has happened in that scripture? I'm sure we all do. We've probably all read it enough times to know that there's a progression. This scripture gives us a progression. First, we are standing. We're standing in the paths of sinners. Then, we start walking. We start walking with Him. We're getting comfortable. First, we're in Him. It doesn't bother us too much. Then we start walking with Him. And then, finally, we sit right down. We make ourselves a home with the sinners. And that's the progression that we see in this section of Scripture. And once we do this, we are full-fledged accepting the way of a sinful life. And at that point, we can count on God's blessings being gone. We never, ever want to fall into that category. We need to head these things off right from the beginning. And that's staying close to the trunk of the tree. Staying right on the basics of what God teaches us. What we talked about, the Sabbath, the commandments, all of what God expects, the love of God, the love to share with each other. We have to keep that in our mind. That has to be our primary goal as a Christian. You know, life is about helping others. It's about, you know, making somebody else better than we are, promoting the others. This brings a story to mind in Luke 18, and we're all familiar with this, so we won't look it up. But it's about the Pharisee. The Pharisee who, describes a Pharisee, but two men who went to the temple to offer a sacrifice. And of course, the Pharisee we just mentioned, he thought he was a righteous man. Now, he approached the temple with his sacrifice, and he began his prayer and doing what he had to do. And he said, God, you know, he said, I thank you so much that I'm not like this man over here. He said, this man's extortioner. He's unjust. He's unfair. He's a tax collector. I fast twice a week. You know, I give tithes. I do what I need to do. Look at me. Look at me. Well, that says it all right there. That's not the ideal lifestyle to live. People seem to want to get the most that they can out of life. We as God's people, we want to get the most we can, the most of God's way of life that we can get. Because when we do, when we understand it correctly, we will share it with others. We will give to others. That's what we need to do. We have to avoid the lifestyle of ungodly people. Now, again, as it relates to the world, it's tough to do because we are living in the world. But remember, we're not of the world. We have to live in it, but we don't have to be a part of it. And to do that, we have to dig in closer and deeper to God's way of life and God's Word. If we don't, we will go astray. You know, the Bible teaches us that worldliness and godliness can't go hand in hand. Because we know, number one, Satan is the god of this world. And Satan is sin. And sin and God cannot work together. Look at James 4. And we are done with Psalms, by the way. James 4 and verse 4. James 4 and verse 4 says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity against God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Again, he's just telling us the way it is. If we decide to be a part of this world and turn our back on God's way of life, and we have said that we're done. God has said that we're done because at that point God said you become an enemy. We do not want to be an enemy of God by any means. We have to dig in deeper. We have to hold on tight. And no matter what comes our way, keep going. Keep going the way of God. you don't need to get caught up in the lusts of the flesh. No, Satan does so much to pull us away, but we don't have to give in. No, like we said before, God says resist the devil, he will flee from us. And his actions and efforts and influences will too. To do that, we have to get closer to God. So, what must we do in order to be blessed and live this kind of life? Well, again, number one, we have to avoid ungodly counsel. We cannot let those kind of people, and again, I'm not saying things bad about the people because they don't have an understanding yet, but we can't allow their influences to pull our lives away from God. We must avoid being influenced by sin itself. And sin is deep in this world. And we must avoid the lifestyle that the sinful and ungodly live. We can't get caught up in that lifestyle. So as we start to wind down here, let's go to the positive side. Enough of the negative, let's go to the positive side. And I misled you when I told you we're done with Psalms. We're not. So if you kept your place, let's go back to Psalms. Psalms 1. You know, not only do we have to avoid those certain things, but there are things that we can't accept. And again, it goes back to the very basics. One of the greatest things that we need to accept, that we have to accept as part of our life, as a part of our very being, is that love for the Word of God, that love for His message. And again, in Psalms here, Psalms 1 and verse 2, it says, His delights is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, He meditates day and night. He being the blessed people, God's people, one who have accepted this way of life, have committed their lives to living this way of life, and who have said, no matter what, I won't quit. Those are the ones He's talking about here. They not only love God's way of life, they love God's laws, but they meditated day and night. You know, when I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, wouldn't you love to meditate day and night? But that's not practical. But it is. It is practical. We need to have God's way of life on our mind 24 hours a day. We have to deal with this world. We have to deal with our jobs and whatever we're doing. But that doesn't have to take over our life. God's laws does have to take over our life. We need to meditate on it as much as we possibly can. We don't know how much longer this world's going to last. We don't know what we're going to have to face. But I can tell you one thing. If we think it's tough now, we are in trouble. Because it's going to get a lot tougher. And if we don't love God's way of life, if we don't love His laws, and we don't meditate on them day and night, then we stand a chance of being shaken away. We can't let that happen. But only we can control that. It's our own duty. You don't have to turn there, but let me quote another Psalms to you. It's Psalms 119, verse 97. And again, it's a very familiar Psalms. It says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation day and night. It just goes to back up what we're talking about here. The importance of what we're talking about. Whenever Christ was being tempted by Satan. Three different times he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Three different times he said, it is written, you shall not live by bread alone. The point is, it is written. It's in God's Word. It's God's law. We have those very same laws. And they need to be in our hearts. And we need to be in our minds, which means we need to meditate on them. We need to read them, study them, learn them, and then think about them. When we do, we will draw closer to God. We know that Paul told Timothy that all Scripture is given by inspiration. So, everything that we read from the Bible, from God's Word, is God's law, is God's Word, is instructions for us to get through this world. And with that, we should all be comforted to know that we have God anytime we need. And that's important. Look at 2 Peter 1, verse 3, if you will. Probably ought to keep replacing songs. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Now here, we're told that God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us. The knowledge of God, the very one who has offered each and every one of us sitting in this room the right and the opportunity to be here. If it wasn't for God's calling, we would have no right to be. And I don't know if we've ever thought about that, but that is something also worth meditating on. You know, God didn't have to give us the opportunity to be a part of His family at this time. But He did, because He loves us. And He wants us to be there with Him through what's coming, to help being teachers and trainers in the future. It's an awesome opportunity. It's an awesome responsibility. But we can prepare. We need to prepare. We need to get into God's Word even deeper. So then, as the Psalm said, you might want to go back to Psalms again. It said we must be people who are ready and willing to study God's Word. And then we must have an accepting attitude to live by what we read and understand, and love what we read and understand. When we do this, we will become closer to God. Let's look at Psalms 1, verse 2 one more time. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. That becomes a lifestyle. If we do this, and we do this the way God intends, then it becomes a lifestyle. It becomes second nature. We will find ourselves, you know, as we get into this, we think, can I really meditate this much? Can I really do this and think about this? But as we commit to it and do it, a month, 2 months, a year, whatever, down the road, we will find that that's what it's about. We think about God and His way of life all the time. And that's great. But it's a different level. And it's a level we all are growing to. But we have to start at the basis and nurture it and promote it. And that's what He's telling us here. Don't quit. Keep on going. You know, living a blessed life, it definitely carries benefits, the great benefits. And if we do live this life, this blessed life that God is calling us to live, we will reap the benefits. We'll reap them not just in the future and eternity, but we'll reap them now. And we'll be able to enjoy what God wants us to enjoy. And that's a good thing. We're in Psalms here. Let's go to verse 3. Verse 3. It teaches the principle here. It says, now think about this. We've already been told what to do and what not to do. And now we've been told to meditate all the time, and this is why. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. We will have a life that will flourish no matter what. He says here that the leaves of this tree will not wither. They will die. If we continue to live God's way of life and stay committed and connected and keep meditating, then we will get stronger and stronger. And we'll be able to handle whatever comes down the road. As we think about this way of life, we think about the benefits. Again, I just want to kind of summarize what we've read here in Psalms. Again, we can kind of summarize it in four brief points. That'll be a lot briefer than the last eight. But we think about what it says here in verse 3, you know. It talks about the first thing, we'll be rooted. And that's important, to be rooted. Because once we're rooted, that means we have a strong foundation. That means we're going to hold on tight. When the wind blows hard, we won't be uprooted. We won't be pulled over. We'll be able to stand strong. And we have to nourish those roots. And we do that by reading God's way of life, by reading what He tells us, the laws and the rules, putting them in our lives, and meditating day and night. He goes on to say that not only are we rooted, but we as Christians, we become people who are fruitful. See that? It's growth. Once we're rooted, then we start growing, and we're fruitful. You go back to where it says water brings forth its fruit in its season. We will be fruitful. We'll be able to help in whatever way God wants us to. And then another blessing is that we will be faithful. You know, it takes faith to commit to God's way of life. It takes faith to say, I want to join this odd church that meets on Saturday. And they have strange beliefs. They do these things. I'm going to step out on faith, and I'm going to join them and see what happens. And that's great, because that's the seed. And then it's planted, and then it grows. And then finally, as it grows, and our faith grows, and we are fruitful, and our roots get stronger, we prosper. We prosper because we make sure each and every other one prospers. We grow together. We work together. And that's what we need to do. Ephesians tells us that all spiritual blessings are ours in Christ Jesus. He's willing to bless us. He wants to bless us. He wants us to hang on. We can do that. I'm going to close now with a quote that, unfortunately, I don't know who it came from, but I thought it kind of fit in. So, brethren, think about this as we do leave. As we travel down life's pathways, may this ever be your goal. Keep your eye upon the donut, not the hole.